Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
He had the proverbial voice of an angel and gained enormous fame as a cathedral chorister. When his voice broke at the age of 16, he put that to one side. And despite being on the musical stage in such amazing productions as Joseph, Alard Jones nonetheless fell out of love with singing. It's a love he's recaptured, though, in recent years. And ahead of a tour to Australia and a brand new record in which he duets with his younger self, we caught up with Alard Jones for Open House.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside.
Can we go back in time and think about the first time you were aware that the gift that you had, the instrument that God had given you, was particularly special?
Well, I've never ever thought of myself as special, to be honest with you. You know, I've always sung, and I've always sung religious music. I've always sung sacred, spiritual music. So, there hasn't been, a moment in my life when there hasn't been that connection. But I've never, ever sort of sat back and thought, wow, gosh, aren't I brilliant? You know, it's just not the way I go about things. I'm very lucky that I have a very loyal following in the UK, and the same can be said now in Australia as well. So the idea that I can be singing in concert the other side of the world just sort of blows my mind, really.
But there would have been a moment, though, when you realised that it wasn't just singing, it was a little more than that. That is to say, people were starting to say, this voice is different, let's deal with this very, very carefully. Was there a time when you identified as a singer?
I suppose when you sing in the cathedral choir, even a small one like my own one in Bangor, when you're singing that much, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Sundays, you become a little professional. And for the 4 years that I released albums as a boy soprano in the UK, I was a workhorse. You know, I released 16 albums in 4 years. It's a crazy number. And sang all over the world. So that was the defining moment, I suppose, where I was a professional singer. And then, you know, I was adamant that I would, as an adult, be a trained person. So, you know, it would be very easy for the reviewers to say, oh, little Alard Jones used to sing a bit and now he's just resting on his laurels. So off I went to college. I went to the Royal Academy, I went to Bristol Old Vic. And the path back to singing took quite a while. You know, it wasn't until I got back onto shows like Songs of Praise over here and started singing the hymns and the worship songs again that the voice gradually sort of fitted into place.
For a tender, beaming smile to my hope has been granted, and tomorrow she shall hear all my fond heart would say.
The feeling and the emotion I had as a boy, or instinctively could put into a piece as a boy, I suppose is what set me aside to others. But that wasn't there for quite a while as an adult. Even though I was, you know, on stage performing in musicals and the like, it's only come gradually back. And I suppose even now, I would say that in the last 2 years, I'm probably singing better than I ever have been in my life. You know, I knew it would take a while for the voice to mature and for just me to feel comfortable with singing again.
So was there a time when you were not enjoying your singing. Is that one way of putting it?
Yeah, there was. Yeah, definitely. And you know, even you know, I was probably on tour doing the musical Joseph. It was the largest musical in the world on tour, standing ovations every night. But I'd come off stage kind of feeling that the voice really wasn't doing what the brain was telling it to do. And honestly, it's a weird experience now with the tour I'm bringing over to Australia. We did it in cathedrals in Britain last year. And the moment where, you know, I'm singing Danny Boy or The Day Thou Gavest or Make Me a Channel of Your Peace, I feel a connection. I feel totally at ease with the music that I'm singing. I feel that those pieces belong to me almost. That's where I'm at my happiest.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses falling. It's you must go and I must bide.
In the show that you're bringing to Australia, you're in fact doing duets with yourself, your earlier self.
There's been lots of oohs and ahs from the elderly women in the audience in Britain. What happens is that, you know, this album that was released recently in Australia, thankfully, did very, very well. We made history with it. I duetted with my younger boy voice on an album that no one had ever heard that hadn't been released because my voice had broken. It's been an incredible experience. The 4 years I spent as a boy soprano, I kind of brushed a lot of those experiences under the carpet. But by doing this album, I sort of had to confront what I did as a boy. And it's been an amazing experience, a very emotional experience, especially the first couple of concerts I did it. But yeah, whilst I'm singing pieces like Eriskay, Love Lilt, All Through the Night, Danny Boy, on a huge projection screen behind me, Mick Lallard not only sings, but we've also got the footage from the 80s of me doing these songs. Yeah, it's incredible. But also people come away hopefully feeling kind of uplifted, and they have maybe 2 hours where, you know, they think back to the 80s and where life was a little bit simpler. You know, we didn't have as many stresses and strains on our lives.
Our guest on Open House is Alad Jones, and it's just delightful to speak with him. When you perform with people, and I'm a musician and know the feeling well of reaching a contact that's, well, I'm going to say it's at the spiritual plane, without a doubt. And so you're performing with a version of your younger self. Have you felt a spiritual connection as you're singing with him? Are you saying, gosh, that phrasing was mature or not mature, or I wouldn't have taken a breath there, or what's that relationship like?
Well, do you know what? This has been the amazing bit about the whole thing. I went into the studio and recorded with, as I say, Little Alad. It's very difficult to know what to call him. And it was identical. I breathed in the same place. The phrasing was the same. The amount of effort I put into a certain phrase was exactly the same. So that either means that I haven't progressed at all in the last 34 years, or that, you know, what I had as a boy, I suppose, was it was a sort of a one-off, if you like. But what also was very evident is that we're identical. We're the same person, you know, and it's uncanny. My producer will say, you can't tell apart from the, you know, one's high, one's low. Everything else about the phrase is absolutely identical. So, you know, it's in me, and you know, I say a few years as an adult for it to come back, but my goodness me, it has now. And And that's why this album has been such a pleasure to do. You know, I've been able to draw a line, if you like, on what I did as a voice soprano and move on.
That's a beautiful description. Now, when that's happening and you're back in love with singing, what's happening there in terms of your relationship with God? Are you viewing this as a gift that God has given you that's for others, a gift that he's given you for yourself, or is it at some even greater plane where it's just simply an act of spiritual worship to use your gift in that way?
A bit of all of that, I would say. I think everyone has a gift from God. The fact that, I suppose, mine, not just the singing, but hopefully communicating.
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, I love the presenting I do on TV. I love the presenting I do on the radio. And I don't really see a difference between that and singing. My job is to enjoy what I'm doing, and hopefully that then creates something for somebody that's watching in the audience. You know, I'd be the first to say that my voice isn't the best in the world, but hopefully what I've got is... I've got an ability to connect with someone's soul, and that's through the religious music. In the dark of a stage, be it in Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney, London, wherever, with that light on me, and there might be a moment in Make Me a Channel of Your Peace where I connect with my keyboard player, my musical director, who is from a cathedral background as well, and I feel as if that's my church service. The words mean everything to me. It's a moment of deep peace.
Yes.
It really is. It's a moment of, even though my heart might be racing and even though the adrenaline might be pumping, it's a moment of just pure peace and of release. It's amazing. You know, and I'm sure millions of performers feel it, but I'm talking about personally now what I get out of it. And then what I hope what comes across is that sort of that intense feeling I've got comes across to the audience as well.
Mm. Alan, how do you judge your own performances? Are you a self-critic?
Yeah, massive. I've been very lucky that, you know, I've had a bit of a tough time recently over the last week and a half, because I had a bit of a chest infection and a cold. But I still did all my commitments, as in I had three concerts to give. I had to sing for Prince Charles in Scotland. I had to sing in the Royal Albert Hall for the Songs of Praise program I was doing. And I had to sing on a television show in Finland. Not to the best of my ability, but the way I see it is that if I never give a performance less than 87-90%, then hopefully the audience don't notice too much. So that's what I'm always striving for.
Do you then later find a place to forgive yourself?
I forgive myself straight away.
Yes.
There's no point. You know, once it's gone, it's gone. I'm not one of those people that then kind of dwells on it. I have to move on, because invariably there's another concert or another television show or another radio show. So I'm even now, sort of late on in the game, I learn from my mistakes and move on and better myself.
In the way that you eventually came back to understand your talent in a new mature way, was there a period of maturing in your own faith along the way?
Yeah, there was a time when I turned my back on it, really. Or there wasn't a conscious turning my back. But when I was at college, when I was 18, 19, 20, 21, I didn't go to church. I didn't sort of acknowledge my past in the cathedral at all. And as I say, it's only coming back to Songs of Praise and finding myself more and more in churches and cathedrals. And, you know, I'd be the first to say that in a church where there's no music, I hardly feel any connection at all. My connection is definitely through music. And you know, my job now takes me to a lot of great churches, a lot of great places in the world. And you can't be in those places without acknowledging, you know, God's grandeur, if you like.
Indeed. Well, what would you like people to get from your performances when you're here in Australia?
More than anything, joy. Mm. But also, I hope that they manage to kind of relive, you know, past lives, if you like. You know, we go very much back to the 80s in the screen with Little Aled and all this sort of business. But more than anything, I hope that they get joy, but also a sense of kind of peace from the music as well. And I hope that for those 2 hours, you know, they can forget about anything else and hopefully be transported somewhere else.
But when he come and all the flowers are dying, if I am dead, as dead I well may be, he'll come and find the place where I am lying, and kneel and say an Ave there for me. I shall sleep in peace until...
And I shall sleep in peace until you come to me.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.